sing unto you, just to play all the instruments unto your glory. Thank you for allowing us to be in your presence, O God. Thank you, Lord, that when we worship you, when we just sing unto you, and we are just in your presence, O God. You take care of all our needs. You need, you see the need of our hearts, the desire of our lives, and you know what to do and where to do and where to do and how to sing to you, God. And you have learned the according to your perfect will. We entrust you our lives, O God. Thank you that you will be there and work with us. You will bring it to completion. And you shall perfect and instruct us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who spread book in Isaiah 42 and verse 3. That a bruised tree shall not break and a smoking plank shall not put out. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who takes control of our lives and desires. Thank you, Lord, that you are perfect worship with the knowledge. We submit to our entire will, God, knowing that you are in charge. Mercy and strength upon your people today. Upon all those who have come from far and wide, all those who have fled, look after their needs. Let them go back and fresh to you, knowing that they have no issues, knowing that you have set them free and blessed them. Let them go back to their homes, Lord, knowing that you are blessing them with them. Let them go back to the Lord with a great number of faith, with a great amount of strength, with your glory upon them. Bless and keep them all as a hand of yours, and let the Lord to share with you. Lord, I pray for your children who are going to share and minister today. Bless the lives of the mighty to this young one. Fill them with your goodness and glory. Fill them with your grace and power. And your blessings are offered upon each and every one. May your blessings are offered upon each.
You will be saved. And then he goes on to say,
Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So he's saying, I want you to be beware of dogs. And he says, who are the ones who are the dogs whom he calls? It is people who put their trust in the flesh and not in the Spirit. But he says, we are of the true circumcision, who have been circumcised in the Spirit. And we worship His Spirit in truth. And we have absolutely no confidence in the flesh. The first letter of Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 30 and verse 31 tells us that no flesh shall glorify itself in the presence of God. Or no flesh shall boast itself in the presence of God. When we stand in the presence of God one day in all glory, there shall be nothing more than you and me that shall say, look how I got here. It shall be the picture in heaven is that of people worshipping and thanking and praising God. When you reach there, you will know from beginning to end it has been the work of the Holy Spirit within your life. And you will end up worshipping God and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Make it damn when I let you down. You are so good to me. Thank you for holding me still and continuing the good work within me. And thank you for having brought me safe here. There will be absolutely only thanksgiving forth within our hearts. I've seen many a person, even in my own life, the minute you begin to put the confidence in the flesh and you feel that you can do something, you know, every time this bright dream up, when your personal prayer is going for 7 hours and 6 hours and 10 hours, when you're ministering unto the Lord, when God is doing great things for you, that's the time in great boldness and courage you say, if I leave, I leave for the Lord, and if I die for the Lord. And suddenly after a few weeks, suddenly one right now, one small little thing happens and you don't know where our faith has gone, we don't know what has happened, but yeah, we are looking down. We forget all the commitment that we made unto the Lord. We forget all the good things that we promised Jesus when we gave our life to Him. But still thank God that He is good. He doesn't take us for our words, because He knows our hearts. And though He still continues to perfect that which concerns us. The reason that you are still here, many of you, having let down the Lord many a time, is because the Lord has been good to you. Amen. Amen. He's kept the fire burning. He's kept you alive somewhere along still you're breathing. But remember this, there will be absolutely nothing in the flesh that will glorify yourself or the Lord. It is only in fellowshipping with the Spirit and having no confidence in the flesh that will make you stand in the presence of God. I told you when we were sharing on this Antichrist and the character, the way he works and all that, I told you there's a difference between the spirit of Antichrist, the many Antichrist that are already in the world, and the Antichrist that the Bible says in Revelation 13. The Bible speaks about the spirit of Antichrist in 1 John 4 and speaks about the many Antichrists in 1 John 2:18 that are already in the world, and the Antichrist in Revelation 13. Now I told you about what the Antichrist will do. In Daniel 11, the Word of God says that he shall take away the daily sacrifice. He shall destroy the daily sacrifice. And what the spirit of Antichrist is doing today, even in churches and even in places, is to take away a daily sacrifice that Jesus has asked his disciples to have. In Gospel of Luke chapter 9 and verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, if anybody needs to follow me, he should deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. He should deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. And that is exactly where the Holy Spirit helps you. Provide your willing. And this daily sacrifice is what the spirit of Antichrist has to take away. A daily crucifixion of the cross of the Lord. Now I am coming to the message.
Here God's word says, here are the people who have putting confidence in the flesh and they are like dogs. But God does not want us to be like a dog. He wants us to be people who are truly worshipping Him in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
Remember this. If the Holy Spirit is daily crucifying you to the cross of the Lord, dead men cannot sin. Dead men cannot boast. Dead there in the cross. If you have read the book by Watchman Nee, one day while he was sitting and while he was praying and meditating on the chapter of Romans chapter 6, he came to the passage of scripture which says, the 6th chapter and verse 6, you are dead to your sin in Christ and you are alive unto God through baptism. When he came upon that passage of scripture, suddenly the Holy Spirit of God quickened him. And suddenly he jumped out. And you can then begin to run through the street and begin to go about shouting, praise God, hallelujah, I am dead. When the Holy Spirit crucifies you to the cross, your dead nature is dead and you believe that by faith. You are sanctified by faith. You are set free from sin by faith. You are forgiven by faith. Everything from beginning to end is by faith. The flesh needs to see. But when we say we are walking not in the flesh and no confidence in the flesh, we need faith because we are walking by the Spirit of God. Are you with me? There is absolutely no confidence in the flesh means you are not walking by sight, but you are walking by faith. And that's what the Holy Spirit does when He begins to enlighten you to the scripture and you walk on the precious promises of God. Knowing that your old nature is crucified unto the cross of Jesus Christ. Into the chapter of Galatians 5. And verses 24 and verse 25 of the 5th chapter of Galatians. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. When your flesh is truly crucified to the Lord, and when you're walking in the Spirit, there will be absolutely no conceit, no envy, nothing that is of carnal nature that will climb up or have dominion over you. Now believe me, this is something that you do by faith. Going into the presence of God, asking the Holy Spirit to help you. And then only can we become truly dead. Now, when we find about the people whom God anointed, we know in the Old Testament there was what we call the leper's anointing, the priestly anointing, and the kingly anointing. If you have read the book on by Benny Hinn on the anointing, you will find that there. Many of you have read that book. We had shared that long time back. The leper's anointing, the priestly anointing, and the kingly anointing. The leper's anointing was for salvation. And the priestly anointing to minister unto God. And the kingly anointing to have authority. And these are three stages of your anointing, of your spiritual walk, where God begins to anoint you. Now David, when he began to walk in the priestly anointing and when God was putting him forth as a king, when he was walking into the presence of God, you will find what God was dealing with him all the time when Saul was king was this. God wanted him to be truly there and have absolutely no confidence in the flesh. Because you will find, when Saul, the anointed of God, had risen up against David, and when Saul was trying to persecute David and kill him off, David was running away. David was on the move. And Saul was behind him. But you will find, in the first book of Samuel chapter 24, The first book of Samuel, chapter 24, you will find Saul was with his men and he was hiding in a cave, sleeping in a cave. David was hiding. And David came and David is suddenly seeing Saul there. And if David wants to, he can kill. Are you with me? Because he's got his enemy right now in front of him. He can kill him if he wants. But then Saul did that. But David doesn't do that. What David does is, the fourth verse says, then the man of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And then it began to trouble his heart. And then he said, how can I do that against the anointed? And then you will find what I'm coming to is that the 10th verse. Look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. And then he goes on to say, moreover, my father, see, yes, see, the corner of your robe is in my hand. Then what I am coming to, why he didn't kill Saul is what I want to highlight. The 14th verse. And then he's saying to Saul something. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? David is comparing himself to a dead dog and he's saying, whom do you pursue? I have nothing against you. I'm like a dead dog, a flea. Why come after me? I could have finished you off, but know this, I'm dead. Are you with me? How many of you understood? Are you a dead dog today? Only dogs bark. Only dogs attack. And God doesn't want his people to do that. Even argue with God's scriptures? No. Don't prove your point. When somebody rises up against you, forgive and bless them. Because you are crucified to the cross. You cannot eat back. There are many times you want to prove something and tell them something, let them know what is in your heart. But the Holy Spirit has crucified you. You are a dead dog. Absolutely no confidence in the flesh. Amen? Now that is the kind of people who will truly allow the Holy Spirit to move into their lives and crucify them, that God is looking for. And that will daily. One day when you sing all to Jesus, I surrender, come before the congregation and lay your life before the Lord as a public proclamation of your surrender to Jesus, it's beautiful. When you do it a couple of times, it is still beautiful. But when you have to do it daily, it is very hard. This nature that we have is always wanting to come out. It's always wanting to have its own way. It's always wanting to do things its own way, even spiritual things, even sealed for God. But then that is where God needs you to have your nature crucified to Jesus. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. And then you will know what it is to walk in the new life. To see as God sees. To set your mind on things above and not on things below. To be concerned about the kingdom of God and its needs. Knowing that when you take care of the Lord's business, the Lord will take care of your business. Because your nature always wants to compromise, do your business and do God's business together. And you struggle and struggle because you're trying to do your own house. But the purpose, the focus, all that is needed is to look to the face of God. Amen? Later on when David is continuing and when he comes into the kingly anointing and when he is the king over Israel, He is calling someone from Saul's house. He said, I want to show goodness to someone in Saul's house. Whom shall I be good to in Saul's house? He looks into the family of Saul. But everyone has got this carnal nature, this canine nature, this dog nature, always biting, harassing, still enmity with David. And finally he looks and God shows him to who he has to be good to. And who is the person he chooses? 2 Samuel chapter 9. The 9th chapter. 2 Samuel 9. And verses 7 onwards. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? Who was that? Maybe Boshet, the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul. And he was laid, and he considered himself like a dead dog. So he said, who am I that you should be good to? Am I not like a dead dog? Won't you look at someone and say, am I not like a dead dog? Don't say that. Just be dead, that's all. God has created you carefully and wonderfully. But your whole nature needs to be crucified at the cross of the Lord. That canine nature that wants to devour and have its way, needs to be right there dead at the cross of the Lord. It is only when you begin to move into a realization that's what God wants, and allow the Holy Spirit to spill into your life, you will begin to walk in the fullness of God. How many of you are truly there? Can you just stretch forth both your hands up to God? Dead unto sin, dead unto the world, but alive unto God. Alive unto the fullness of God's Spirit. Right now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name for your people who have raised their hands up to you. Holy Spirit, you are the one who crucifies the ever sinful nature that is within them. The ever rebellious nature that is within them. The everything that is holy and carnal and canine. Holy Spirit, I pray you quicken them right now and crucify that old nature, that sinful nature of theirs, unto the cross of Jesus now, and let them walk forth in new life, in new desires, in the perfection and the fullness of God. May your blessings abound upon them. May your blessings abound upon them. May your blessings abound upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want you to just keep your eyes closed, your heart lifted up to God. verses 22. Here, God is speaking about people who were once in a relationship with Jesus, but who got entangled in sin and has got, and sin has overcome them. And in the 21st verse says, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb: a dog returns to his own vomit, and a stone having washed to her own wallowing in the mire. A dog returns to his own vomit. But if that's a dead dog, you cannot go back to your vomit. Every time you read 2 Peter 2 and Hebrews chapter 6, every person who is desiring to follow the Lord and was struggling in some trial or in some rebellion are scared. They are scared whether they will go back. More than having faith to go forward, they have more fear to go backward. Faith makes you go forward. And that is what happens in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Your eyes look not to the natural but to the supernatural, to the promise of God, to what God has said in His Word. And you have laid your life at the front and saying, Lord, I want you to take me. Change me from strength unto strength, glory to glory, faith unto faith, and make me go forward. But this nature which I was there is not to trust in or to be wary of, wants to look to the natural. And this natural, when you look to, you will begin to have fear. And fear takes you away from God. And so what the devil does is to make you look at circumstances. What he does is to make you look at the trial, is to make you look at the problem. But what God desires, you look to the answer. Whatever it might be, is Jesus. Whatever struggle that you're going through, the answer is Jesus. And to lay your life before Him. There is only one place where you can go to lay your life before, and that is Jesus. The Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse 37 says, Jesus said, I will by no means cast away anyone who comes to me. And in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 24-25, God's word says, Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father is interceding for us. And He is able to save us to the uttermost. I love that word, uttermost. In Isaiah 40 and verse 29-31, God's word says, even young men might grow weary and fall and faint. In some versions it says to the uttermost. And from there God shall bring it to the uttermost in perfection. To the intercession of Jesus Christ. And if you are a dead dog, you cannot go back to your vomit. Are you with me? So write your name there in 2 Peter 2 and Hebrews 6. And I don't belong in the people who go back. I belong in the people who are going forward with Christ Jesus. And when you do that, suddenly you will know that you belong to the Beloved, to Jesus alone. Amen? The message for the morning is not over. But I want some worship before we continue on. Like last week, that God inspired us to continue on a little more, longer. You have the time, don't you? Can we stand up for a minute more in prayer and worship before we sit down again? sing the song, I Am a New Creation.
Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon. And thank you for your presence, your wonderful presence among us. Lord, one thing we desire, to dwell in your house all through the days of our life. To look at your face, to see your glory. Lord, we thank you for all that you've been doing for in our lives. This afternoon, Lord, we thank you that you are sending forth the revival deep within our spirits. Where you are resurrecting us once again, Lord.
at God's word last week. You're looking at the word of the Lord last week. Yes, how many of you looked into God's word that you had expected, that is read through it? That's good. Can you open our Bibles to the St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians? Sister Alan Kovartkin. Now there is something which I want you to learn in this passage of scripture and also make it a prayer and make it very personal. How many of you want to know the will of God in your lives? How many of you want to walk in the fullness of God, in the power of God, in victory? Well, this is the secret. I have made the prayer of my life, and every day in prayer I say this out and make it personal. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of my calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. Amen. You need to make it personal, and you need to say out of the prayer, you need to say, Lord, I need a spirit of wisdom and revelation to have a more greater knowledge of You, so I can have a greater fellowship with You. But I want to know what is the hope of my calling and what is the riches of the glory of my inheritance among the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power, because I believe in You, God. And if we can begin to know that, what else do you need? To know the Lord, to know Your calling, to know Your riches, and to know the power that is available for you, that will make you victorious. That's all we need. Anybody want anything more? No. This is all we need. Just these three things. And then you will find that you have victory. That you are walking in the peace of God. You need to make a prayer. How many will do that? Make it a prayer. Next week, you come, I'm going to ask you. Amen?
Amen.
You come as dead dogs. Hallelujah. Yes. going on in the world, you know that? What is called the mystery and accusation? Revelation 12 says the devil is the accuser. And if you are not, another is the ministry of intercession which Jesus Christ is in. Now either you can join one of these ministries. If you are not in the ministry of intercession, it means you might be in the ministry of accusation. We don't want to be there, amen? We want to be in the ministry of intercession. Interceding together with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, when the war was, the Korean War was there, in a place called Heartbreak Ridge between North Korea and South Korea. When war was going on, the UN soldiers were fighting together with the South Korean soldiers against North Korean soldiers. And a lot of American soldiers fight, this is something that truly happened. And in the border they were exchanging fire. And one soldier moved forward into the enemy camp, into the enemy land. And while he was moving forward, suddenly he got shot. And he was lying there, and he was bleeding. And while he was lying there and bleeding, his American friends, the soldiers, the soldiers on the side, they were the trenches. They could hear that friend cry, they could see him bleeding, but nobody could go forward and rescue him because the bullets were coming very wide. And so they did not know what to do. After some time, a young man looked at his watch. And when it struck 9, he slowly began to creep through the ground. And he went up to that man who was lying there, and bullets were coming, but he kept his head low, and he went there, took a hold of that man, and drew him out back safely into the American trench. And while they were safely there, the commander of the army asked this young man who had gone there to rescue, why did you wait till 9? And why did you go at 9? And this young man said, when I came forth for the battle into Korea, my mother had said that every day at 9 she would be praying. And I knew that no blood would touch me at that time. Hallelujah. Father, that's what the ministry of intercession is all about. We stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30 says, stand in the gap. God is looking for a man or a woman who can stand in the gap in the city. And we stand in the gap for someone who cannot pray, who is going through a struggle, and we back that person up. And that person can come out strong. Amen?
Amen.
So be there to stand in the gap for Jesus, with Jesus. Okay? This week, be there for the intercessions. Definitely, amen. And God will do something nice for everyone of us. Hallelujah. Tell me just anybody celebrating your birthdays, anniversaries, yesterday was the engagement of Joyce and Sopna. She turned out very well. Beautiful. They both will love you. Yes. Yes. My birthday. We prayed for him in a special way, celebrating his birthday on 16. He comes all the way from Kothamangalam. Every week, all the way from Kothamangalam. He comes all the way from Kothamangalam just to end up there. Takes a couple of buses and comes here. And God bless you for that. A lot of opposition, persecution that tell him not to go. Don't go, why go all that far for a prayer? But he's faithful to the Lord, faithful to the ministry. God bless you for that. God reward you for him. Amen. We pray for him in a special way. And also Nikki. On Friday is Nikki's birthday. How many of you enjoy the way he played with God? Hallelujah. May God anoint you more. We pray for both of them. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. 16th is your birthday. Stand up. 16th is her birthday. We pray for her in a special way. June 19th is Kiran's mother's birthday. Friend Rachel's birthday on
17th.
18th and 19th.
18th
and 19th. You like this? 18th and 19th. So that is meant for the hands towards all of them and sing a wonderful song of Shah's blessings, the Joshua generation style.
Yeah.
know Tom Chen?
Tom Chen Anil.
He's my second cousin. And his brother is the one who is running the pick and mix where we all go. That's why he came all the way to Kajal to sing the entire group there for a tree. Hallelujah. Thank you, Roger. Let's give him a round of applause. Anybody? Who are we doing the fast this week? The fast is great. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's the fast and pray for the ministry of the Joshua generation. This month end we have a retreat. The next month beginning we have a retreat. The second week of next month we have another retreat. The third week we have another retreat. So all coming. Next 1 month is really going to be hectic. So we need to pray a lot and we need to be strong in prayer. Stutter. That is day Sunday. Monday? Okay. You are which day?
Thursday.
Thursday, that's to pray for the ministry. Yes. And we take our final song of thanksgiving with the Lord. No, we just take a minute to pray for one of our dear children. I know she's in the hospital, she's recovering, she just finished an operation. The Lord has been good to her, the Lord will keep her safe, and we pray for her fast, bring her being perfect. Amen. Shall we stretch forth our hands to the Lord so that she can be. Father, we thank you for your word, that your word is a healing unto all our flesh. In Proverbs 4, O God, your word declares that your word is a healing unto all our flesh. May your word go forth to heal and shine to wherever she might be. Put in the healing upon her life, Lord God. Your word declares in 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24 that you are able to sanctify her. Make a blameless, holy and healthy spirit, soul and body, and you, O God, shall do it. Your word declares, Lord Jesus, in Exodus 23 and verse 25, that, Lord, none of the diseases of Egypt shall ever come upon your people. Right now, Lord, may your child be kept safe from every sickness, from every bondage, and from every sin. May she regain her health, Lord, and prosper for your glory. So be blessed, Lord God, and perfect her. In Jesus' name be blessed and be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Final song of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. You know, just how many of you know the song, Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so? Yes? Which scripture is that? Psalm 107 verse 2. Just check up to find if that is right. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the land. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know why you need to learn that word also by heart and keep it? I told you last week that the devil attacks the believer with guilt. I told you on Friday, just a little more of sharing, okay? Is that okay? I told you on Friday, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just to highlight and just look after the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, God's word says, that we are God's field. That we are God's field. And in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter 9 was God's word says that do not mix seeds and sow in the same ground. No two kinds of seeds on the same ground. We know the word of God, the Holy Spirit sows into our hearts, and the word is to glorify Jesus. The word is to bear fruit within our lives. But the devil also sows seeds which takes away the fruit of one's life. In the book of Isaiah, the 5th chapter, God's people are mentioned as a vineyard. And there,
In the field, God expected good grapes to come, but wild grapes come. Or an alien kind of seed was operating, even though God only planted good seed. And God was mightily dishonored by that. And so the hedge was taken away. We shared some time back on when God's people lose the hedge of protection around their lives. Now two seeds. Now one of the seeds the devil throws into the mind of a believer is this. Guilt. And guilt is something like a never-ending story. I just shouldn't have done it. If things were different, if I had not done that. It just keeps nagging you. And as long as you feel guilty, you will never be able to defeat the enemy. Because you will never take authority over him. You will be scared. Are you with me? You will lose your authority over him. And the guilt is what he puts into the mind of a believer to cripple him, so that the believer will not be strong to destroy the works of darkness. God's Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. And the conviction of sin that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives will have the fruit of the Spirit of peace, and he will show you the way out, and when you repent, you will feel a tremendous peace come forth. But the guilt is thrown onto us when we struggle, when we sin, and so we will end up to believe that we deserve to feel that way. Are you with me? Which makes it more hard for us to walk in the fullness of God. And so because of this guilt, you will always walk with your head bowed down. You will not have the assurance. There will be shame within you. Now how do you know you are suffering from guilt? Now this is not a message, but just a few things. If you are a victim of the past, you will feel as if you are a victim of the past. You will have, every time a thought comes into you, you will rather not remember it. It will begin to disturb your soul and you say, oh, no, I shouldn't have. You cannot forget something that you have done, which you believe because you have done that, your life has gone to worse. Are you with me? Now, Revelation 12 and verse 10, why I told you to read that word of Psalm 107 verse 2 is because of this. The devil accuses you with guilt. The 12th chapter, verse 10 and 11. Can you open our eyes to that? Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. The accuser of our brethren, the devil. And how do you overcome him? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Three things. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is that word of testimony that you have? We know about the blood of Jesus Christ. But this is what it means. For you to be free from guilt, you are going to testify what God himself has said that his blood will do for you. You testify about what God himself has said through his word that his blood will do for you. And by laying your life before Jesus Christ once again, by loving the Lord more than anything else. Are you with me? So how do you say that? That is the joy of saying, let the people of the Lord say so. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says that we are redeemed back by the blood of Christ Jesus. So every time you are plagued by guilt after something has happened in your life, you should confess it forth. I believe and I testify that the blood of Christ Jesus has redeemed me. Redeemed means to buy back. We are brought back now with silver or gold. We are brought back by are incorruptible, imperishable blood of Jesus Christ. So we are saying, I've been redeemed back, I've been brought back from sin, I've been brought back from the devil, out of the clutches of the world, washed by his blood. I testify to that. I will be. It is when you testify to that, you will find there is something like a snap, I mean something like a, you know, band being broken in your mind. When there is a guilt, there will be a lot of pressure in your mind. You will be very tense. And you will just snap off. One John 1 and verse 7. If somebody can have the Bible, just do it fast. 1 John 1 and verse 7. Just a few scriptures so that you know you are redeemed back by the blood of Jesus.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Here's something that God is saying. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In Proverbs 20 and verse 13, God's word says, confess what your sin and forsake it, so that you shall find mercy and be forgiven.